This friendship now does not only have a name tag friends. It has what we call brotherhood. Brotherhood is simply means when I'm in need, you are there. And no secret or no weakness can be something you can mock me with around people. You know, when you are with your friends and you are always the winner, Then there's a problem. If you are in a circle of friends, there must be progress. When I say progress, it's you today who's doing good. Tomorrow, you come to the group and say, hey, Bafethu, I'm writing an exam for this and this. They wish you all the best. Then you come back to them and say, I passed. Then someone will say, no, man, this weekend, we are celebrating you. How do you see where the circle is toxic? It's when you always want to be the ringleader without uplifting and growing your friends. Don't be one person who wants to use your friends. Every time when you have 10,000, you will treat someone the way he wants to be treated. Every time I'm trying to put suggestions in terms of independence and you don't buy in, all you want is fun, I cannot give you what you don't want.
Mr. Thabang.
Yeah.
Diketan.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'm very excited to have you here. I know you're a busy man. I personally know that you're a busy man and you are fresh from a holiday.
How was it? Yeah, no, I enjoyed Bali and it's affordable. Mm. I mean, I've been to New York, I've been to Qatar, I've been to Dubai. I know, and I've been to London, so I know when I say it's affordable. So our rent is not doing that bad as compared to Bali. Mm. But I was surprised when I spent 2,400, and to their rent, it was 2.4 million. So that's how weak is their rent that side. Mm. But in terms of affordability, no, it's a good holiday where you can afford and also get that true nature call, nature situation and whatnot. I did enjoy Bali.
No, I saw your status. I was the viewer.
Yeah.
So, Orauri, Leronabo Peter, we can afford.
No, you can afford. I think the only problem is the flights.
Yeah.
But once you get the flights, or you can afford the flights, then and the accommodation, their four-star hotel, it's like your five-star hotel in South Africa. So it's not bad, but it's very affordable. The activities, a bit of a problem can be the food. If you are not one person who explores and who doesn't have a strong immune system and a strong stomach, stomach rejection, you are in trouble because their diet is more of Chinese. It's more of Chinese. It accommodates Chinese, a bit of Indian, but it's more, from my observation, it was more Chinese. Other than that, I enjoyed my stay. And I'm one person, because I've been traveling around, I can adjust. But obviously, you must take medication just in case. But lucky enough, I didn't have any allergic reaction. I didn't have any reaction from the food. I went there and I came back well sound.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Good to have you back.
So, for
someone who's hearing your name for the first time, who is Thabang Diketan?
Yeah, actually, Diketan means two chains, you know that?
So, it actually makes sense.
I'm just a gentleman from Soshanguve.
Yeah.
Actually, I was born and bred in Limpopo, the Skukuni side, Hamashabel. It's not far from Hamasemula. That's where originally I come from. Then I grew up in Soshanguve. So the social life and the Kasi life combined, I was actually trained at Soshanguve. It's in Pretoria. I was one person who was just, I'm not an A student. I'm just a hard worker in everything that I do. So I worked high and I worked hard to actually have that dependency to say, no, I've been attending school locally and I want independence away from my family. Then I decided to study hard so that I can get a bursary and be able to have just a nice qualification. Then by profession, I'm a pharmacist. And then I qualified around the year 2009, 2010, somewhere there. And then I did also master's in pharmacy. I graduated during COVID. And now I'm a PhD candidate. I've just registered my PhD this year. So my supervisor promised me that if we push hard, we're going to finish within 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can tell you about me is that I'm a hard worker, spiritually rooted somebody, very traditional.
Yeah.
I'm family orientated as well. I love family. I've got a big family. I love family. And I'm a socialite. I socialite a lot. But the faith, the Catholic faith, or I would say my spirituality is keeping me grounded. That as much as I would like to be available for the street life, I always give God and His purpose 60% and 40% I give it to myself. So if you ask who's Thabang, I will tell you is an academia, a hardworking person. I love business. And I'm an entrepreneur and a business person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a difference between an entrepreneur and a business person.
And
you know?
We're going to touch on that. Yeah, and I like the fact that you said.
Yeah, so I try to invest so much on my 24 hours. So it's not easy even describing myself. But in summary, I'm spiritually orientated, family orientated, academia, and also uplifting people, it's one of my passion. I do, like, I'm an alumni at Sefako Makgatho University where I graduated my master's. I go there, I motivate the final year students. And I also at church, I'm the mentor of the Archdiocese of Pretoria. So in most cases, they will say, Thabang, come and talk to these children so that they can mirror image your passion for your social life, your religion, and also your life outside church. So that alone gave me a privilege of actually being the mentor, the youth mentor. And also part-time, I'm an author. So I write books about my real life struggles, my wins, my struggles, my challenges. Because it's not always good to tell the good story that you went to Bali. But there must be a situation where you say to someone, I went through this journey. This is how it went. And the hiccups, the challenges, the resilience within that journey, and the win after. So that this youth don't just celebrate Mahariap. You know Mahariap. They wear your Gucci, they wear all these expensive clothes that we want and we wish, but they don't tell the story. So if we as academics are not trying to be there and try to show people or it's also doable the right way, then it means they don't have people to relate to. They don't have mentors. They just look at life as if it's just rush, rush, hurry up, get whatever that you want, then you go. So we need to be engaged in this community, the young ones, to be able to polish their values and their way of thinking. Then in that case, we are able to produce more Thabang, more Peter, people who are determined, who are creative, who are seeing possibilities out of hardship and whatsoever.
Wow. Well said. Well said. Powerful. I like the fact that in everything that you mentioned, you centered God. And you also centered family. And you also centered hard work. Those three things are powerful, and I think they go hand in hand. You said a lot, and I'm picking up that you are a man of many hats. You've mentioned that you are an author, you are a businessman, you are a man of God, a leader. You are a father as well. How do you balance all of this?
I think everything starts from passion and also the purpose. In most cases, if you align your purpose with your destiny, it makes things easier. But in simple terms, I would say, you need to ask yourself, if your life was projected in a billboard, will people be proud of that life? Then if you feel your life is not worthy of being in a billboard, then you still have more to work on. So what I do is that I accept that I have 24 hours. And that 24 hours, we are all given equal. And what do you do with that 24 hours? It's upon you. The powers are in your hands. And you being in all the spaces, if you're not compromising, I mean, if you go to church, it's two in one. You go to church, you take your family. So it's two in one. You have already shared time with your family in the right way, in a Christian way. You manage to take them to church. And then you go to church, you look at the life around church and you say, how can I contribute to this church? Not just the church contributing to me. You cannot always be one person who wants to take, but you must be giving so that you receive. Mm. So now you look at things and say, no, I must not be one person who criticizes. I must be a solution to a problem. Then you end up saying, can I be of help at church? Then they say, okay, if you can be of help, help there and there. And then they start seeing your potential. Then they give you a project and you lead. And in that case, once you lead and you execute and the results are good, you become a leader. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have done three things at one space. What I'm trying to say is that you have taken your family to church, you are attending church, and you become the leader at church. You are also growing the church, and your kids and your family can see that this man, it's centered around Jesus Christ. So in terms of morals, you are also grounded. And in terms of how you respond to situation, you are also grounded based on the faith that you believe at. Because it has to somehow shape how you react to situations, whether it be at work, be at your social space, or be your neighbor or at home. Mm. So in that case, within that 24 hours, I've already captured three things. Mm. Then you come back from church. After coming back from church, you have an opportunity to socialize, whether you socialize with your family or you socialize with your friends. Mm. You have already spent another hours from that 24 hours. Then you limit time. I mean, there are certain things that are privilege, and we must not forget that there are things that are privilege and there are things that are must. Mm. Going to chill with friends is not a must. It's just a privilege. If you are like, you go chill with whatever pain you have, it's a privilege. Mm. But a must do is that you must have friends around and you must have family around. Then from that friendship as well, you start choosing friends based on your purpose. You align your purpose with your friendship. I cannot just be your friend at this age, Peter, because I need friends. There must be a situation of saying, what is that you have and what is that I do not have? How can we complement each other? Mm. I'm not investing. When I was still in high school, yes, I would just want everyone to be a friend. But even in high school, we're very strategic. we're very strategic how we choose our friends.
Yeah.
You choose someone who has a soccer ball so that when we play, you know who. You are always favored because this person is your friend and the ball is, he's the owner of the ball. Mm. Or someone who has money, you know, when you play soccer, he's the one who always pop out money. We've always been that strategic, but we are not aware. Mm. So now the more you grow up, you start realizing, man, we need to complement each other, not to compete. So whoever friend that I meet at this stage in life must have something that I do not have so that I create a powerful resource around me. You know, when they say it takes a village to grow someone, does not mean only associate yourself with poor people or be materialistic. I can just be your friend because you know what to say and how to say it. And I've got, I might have resources, but you find that I'm not good at executing certain things. And I use your skill of humility to actually manage things. Then you become my friend. And then the other friend of mine, maybe he will just be someone who talks too much, but with so much confidence. Then you still need that person because you look at the purpose and say, okay, I think because I normally attend this event where now I need to address people and myself, I need this person to teach me how to address. You understand? It's complementing. In that case, then in that case, already within 24 hours, you are able now to get business or whatever that can grow you as a person from that friendship. Mm. We are still talking about 24 hours. Mm. Then from there in the morning, obviously I start my day with gym. Even when you go to gym, you still meet people with different profession. It's like people who are doing golf, they meet or they make business there.
They network.
They use that space not only to golf, but to network.
Mm.
So I find my network sometimes at gym. People with different profession, and we get along, and then we start spreading. No, I do this for a living. He does this for a living. Then I'm creating what? My capacity and my resources. Mm. So you can imagine now, if I encounter a situation where you say you need 24 bottles of water, branded Peter, I know whom to call. But in that case, it's not my business. It's my friend's business, but I bring someone new to him. So we end up connecting. So I'm still managing that 24 hours.
Wow.
Then in that case, you meet Peter, Jimmy tells you, no, I'm selling water. And then you, what stimulates your mind is that whatever topic, you need to be analytic and be a creative person. And, you know, I always say to people, when you are not curious, you won't grow. So if someone is saying, I'm selling water, first thing that must come to your mind is that who recycled these plastic bottles? So we can, you can be in business and I come and supplement your business. You are selling water. I'm not tapping into your market. You are selling water and I'm recycling this. But at the same time, we are eating from the same pot, but with different direction. Then I'm not a competition to you. I'm complementing what. So that conversation you can have at gym. Because going to gym is not always about muscles. You do have that period where you try to exchange ideas and whatsoever. Still 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
So someone tells you, you know, I own this and this and this. And then it stimulates your mind to say, how do I relax while people are thinking out of the box? And you start challenging yourself after gym. You go home, when you are taking your bath, you say, but no, man, this world has so much to offer for me. What can I do? Then it stimulates your entrepreneurial logic. Then when it stimulates that entrepreneurial logic, you now start thinking outside the box. When you see a land, you know, a wise man will see a land and Tabang will see a place to put a shack. But someone will see a land where he can barricade and put and say it's a safari. I saw an opportunity to put a shack, but someone see an income that can sustain his family for the next coming 15 years. But it's the same land that we see together. So how do you exercise your entrepreneur skills? Is that you must be curious and you must always analyze, engage, sell yourself, be confident and ask questions. Don't live a lie, my guy. If you go to gym, don't lie. When you are, when you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan. When you want assistant. Be objective and be honest.
They say, ask, you shall.
Yeah. Now I come to you, Peter. We're at gym, and I'm breaking to you with lies, not knowing that you have the potential to change my life. But I'm here telling you lies. Hey, I'm driving this. Hey, I spend so much. Then Peter is bored with the content of my speech because my content does not have substance. And he looks at it and says, I cannot invest in this guy. But honesty is to say, my guy, how are you doing it? I see you are always at gym. When we rush for what you call child time, you are still relaxed here. Then Peter tells you, no, I own my own business. I do this and this and this. You don't say, how can I replicate your business? You say, how did this start? Then he tells you his journey. Then you go back and have your own drawing board. So my 24 hours, it's not a formula. It's just sequence of scenarios that happens. And then at the end of the day, it becomes 8 p.m. I go bond with the family, watch TV and sleep. Then it becomes a cycle. But I've used it in a way that I've gained so much. And imagine if you are living that life every day. It's like going to fish. If you are doing it more, you end up
catching
it. And not only catching, but perfecting it. And not only perfecting, understanding it and excelling and become an expert. So that's how it starts. You don't just start and say, I'm an entrepreneur. It has to be a journey. You don't just start saying, I'm multitasking now. I'm an author. No. You start somewhere as you go through that. You learn, you explore. And then you fix where there are going to be challenges where you feel what Peter is doing is not working for you. It's normal. But what you need to do is to align it to your purpose. Never forget the purpose. For argument's sake, I wanted to be a pharmacist as early as grade 8. That was 2000 and 2001. I wanted to be a farmer because I visited my uncle. My uncle is my mentor. He's doing very well.
Yeah.
And one thing that I always tell people, have a mentor in life. Someone who will shape your character. Someone you want to mirror image. And someone that you can... I cannot say I want to be a pharmacist and my role model is Beyonce. It doesn't make sense.
But if someone were to ask you, sorry to cut you, but if someone say, how do I then find a mentor? You know, there's always that question of how. How?
Remember, mentor and a mentee, it's a relationship. One has to ask. One has to approach the other one. And remember, a mentor will never come to you and say, I want to mentor you. You are lucky if you are in that space.
Yeah.
But if you want a mentor, you need to realize your purpose and realize your destination. This is what I want. And the journey might be rough, but this is what I want. But who is already there? That's how you identify a mentor. I want to be a pharmacist. Who is already a pharmacist around? Whom I can talk to anytime I want? Okay, lucky enough, I've got my uncle. Then he shaped my journey from high school. Even when people said, no, I want to do medicine, I stood by my decision. I want to be, because I saw the potential and I saw the benefits of being a pharmacist. Some of these things, it was just going to be a trial and error. I was not sure of. At some point, I wanted to be a pilot because I was good with mathematics. And then they were saying, no, if you're good with mathematics, you can do actual science or you can do pilot because you're good. It's not about what you are good at. It's about the passion and the guidance that you need throughout that journey. I was going to be a pilot, but I didn't have anyone in my family who's going to be a pilot. Should I encounter any problem? Now I have to go now visit psychologist. They say I must take a gap year because I'm confused. No one is there to say, no, no, no. I went through this. When you experience 1, 2, 3, remember, we are not all the same in terms of characters. Some people are willing to take a risk and they come alive. Some try to take a risk and they hate the idea for the rest of their life. So I analyze my strength and my weakness. You know, sometimes you must do SWOT analysis about your life.
Yes.
Know what is your weakness, what is your strength, and also know your personality. Your personality has interpersonal skills, in a sense how you say, how do I relate to people and how people relate to me. Some people are hard-headed. They don't want to be told. And once you are hard-headed and you don't want to be told, your relationship, your mentor-mentee relationship will be very difficult because you answer, you listen to answer. You don't listen to learn. And in that case, you are making it difficult for the mentor and mentee relationship to work because when you don't want to be told, you know everything, but yet you said, be my mentor. You know everything. You know, even when you know something and you feel your mentor, what he's saying is not, you just have to show that line of respect. Line of respect to say, I hear you. I'll do more research. I hear you. I'll explore more. I hear you. I respect your opinion. Unless it's a fact, and then he shows you in black and white. But if it's not, you are just saying, I hear you, but I'll also do my own research, then you progress from that.
Wow. You know, you mentioned powerful things here. First, that stood out. You spoke about how you structure your day, your 24 hours.
Yeah.
We all have the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it's all up to us what we do
with that 24 hours.
So we have no excuses.
Yeah.
You know. Mar
arhutlelemo.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, looking at your statuses, hey, you have a good set of friends, man.
Yeah.
And it's what a lot of people, you know, these days lack, like a good set of friends. You know, I see Kari birthday, Kiri POP, 40,000 rand birthday gift.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a token of appreciation.
Did you understand? Yeah. And a lot of people can only dream of that. And, but what stands out for me is that I want to understand this brotherhood. Yeah. How did that brotherhood form? You know, because when I look at you guys, I see people that are there for each other. And I feel like you guys support each other, are in a well position in life.
Yeah.
And you guys are pushing. So I want to understand, how did that friendship come about? That brotherhood?
I think most of my friends, I've got lots of friends, but for the fact that you chill with someone, that does not qualify you to call him a friend.
Mm.
He might be your social associate.
Mm.
We call them social associates.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be a social dwarf.
Yeah.
But most of my friends that I keep dearly and that I'm still holding them dearly in my heart are my friends that I grew up with. At times, it's not safe and it's not easy to keep a friend that you grew up with, because they always remind you of your bad past, how you were poor, how you didn't have sneakers when they went to a bash somewhere. You understand those things. It's two in one. It's bad and it's good. But for me, it works for me because most of my friends are my childhood friends. A bulk of them, I met them at church. I'm a Roman Catholic Christian. I used to be an altar server. So we used to be an altar server and we used to go to church Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we created a church community in that sense that you are from a different family, I'm from a different family, but when you come here, we are brothers and sisters. And that went beyond a church relationship where we'll even visit each other and we'll now start being curious. What are you doing at school? No, I'm going to choose, I'm doing a science stream. The other one will say, I'm doing commerce stream. Then we'll compete in a sense. Science has more money, commerce does not have more money. But we were always focused on growing each other. There's never been a situation where we are toxic towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you, my friends, that Thabang is a hard worker. I'm not an A student, I'm a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you straight, my guy, if we are going to be writing next week, I start studying this week. It's your decision whether you're going to go with me, study, or I'll never hide my formula of making it. I cannot call you my friend, but I see you as a competitor. I must compliment you. If something is working for me and I see it's working, I must recommend. It's a recommendation. It's not an instruction. It's a recommendation, whether you take it or not. Then in that case, if you are able to support each other from that basic level to a level where you are family people and you even this life dynamics, you are able to talk about it and not judge each other, then you know this is true friendship. Like I said to you, it's too late for me to make new friends now. Whoever comes and say he wants to be my friend, it means now you must compliment, you must be having what I do not have. Fortunate is not enough is that these friends that I have, even my first business partner is the friend that I met at church. We became friends, and then later on after tertiary, we were still friends, and then we met, and then we decided, let's venture into business. And you can imagine, this friendship now does not only have a name tag friends. It has what we call brotherhood. Brotherhood simply means, when I'm in need, you are there. And no secret or no weakness can be something you can mock me with around people. I trust you enough that we are more of brothers. We did not choose the family that we have, but friendship we managed to choose. And I already understand you and you understand me. Then this friend of mine, the one that I started partnership with, he was a buyer. I'm a pharmacist. And we opened a pharmacy because he complimented what I didn't have. I didn't have money at that time. He had money, but he didn't have the qualifications. Then we complimented each other and we became business partners. Most of my friends are my business partners. I always hear people say, no, don't mix business with pleasure. We have dealt with that situation and we know how to do it exceptionally. Business is business. A social life is social life. Family is family. So if you still have friends that you grew up with and you are able to have this meaningful conversations and you are able to trust each other and compliment, not compete, then you are good. I believe in what they normally say that, what do you call this? Like I said, family are people that God chose them for you, but friends you can choose. So you choose friends based on what you do not have and what they have. And if you respect the principles of friendship, then you are good to go. someone, even when he wants to betray you, what becomes bigger than the betrayal is the friendship. What reminds him that the bond that you guys have is the friendship. Remember, I cannot afford to lose this friendship. Mm. Whether he does some transactions that are unlawful or whatever, what reminds him, or the conscience, and the conscience will remind him, at the end of the day, you are not only losing this business, but you are losing friendship. Mm. In my circle, maybe for someone, you will say, no, my friends are bad friends. With me, my friends I grew up with, we are still friends even today, and we try all means to grow each other. We try all means to complement each other. Mm. We try all by means to support each other. We have never been in a situation where we compete. It's always good when your friend does something wrong, you tell him. Even when sometimes your friend win, you must also compliment him. And that grows what? Loyalty. Mm. In that space. Not always where, Peter, you always want to be complimented and then you are quick to judge. But it has never been a situation where you come and say, my guy, you are doing good. You are doing great. That, it's what we need at times as friends. You know?
So would you say that, because I pick up with your base of your friendship, God is centered there. And I think that's why it's so easy to nurture and grow this, because I feel like God is the center. Because I feel like in society today, a lot of people are going through this where they will tell you like, hey, don't mix business with friends. Yeah. And I'm getting to you that friendships can also be a base of success. But a lot of people let me just say this. How can they tell if they are in like a toxic circle that doesn't even grow them? How can they tell, and how can they exit that?
Yeah, no, but it's easy. You know, when you are with your friends and you are always the winner, then there's a problem. Mm. If you are in a circle of friends, there must be progress. When I say progress, it's you today who's doing good. Mm. Tomorrow, you come to the group and say, hey, Buffett, I'm writing an exam for this and this. They wish you all the best. Then you come back to them and say, I passed. Then someone will say, no, man, this weekend, we are celebrating you. All of us, hey, Majida, stop whatever that you are doing. We are having lunch and we are all contributing. We are not the main celebrant. You are not contributing because we are celebrating you. We come and celebrate. Sharp. The other one says, no, man, you know what? That course that you did, I think now I'm going to do something but different. So for the fact that you are able to feel free to talk and guide each other, and not someone feeling worried, even let's say we are four, someone comes and say, I passed. He's only being celebrated by 1%. Or it starts looking like the others are followers because you are always the winner. It must click to you and say, but what is this that I'm doing to this group? Am I benefiting them, or is just me being the ringleader? Mm-hmm. Then if in a circle of friendship, you are always the ringleader, then that friendship is toxic, because even when you are doing wrong, they won't be able to tell you, because they know, hey, if we tell this guy, we are going to lose resources. Mm-hmm. You understand? And you must be grounded. And you know, the greatest thing above all is humility. And you must always remain humble. Hence, I'm proud to say the friends that I have, they are spiritually grounded because we met at church. So all these things that I'm saying, they are not new. Mm. We go to church, the scripture will remind you, be humble. Even when you forget, it reminds you, be humble. But you cannot now meet friends at church and now they deviate from church, and you allow them to deviate from the genesis of your friendship. You must remind them, guys, we met here. Come back here. And then remember the spirituality in that case. Ground your morals. Ground your values. It becomes the guidance. It becomes your constitution. You are not scared of Mokwanazi or A. You are scared of your life constitution. That doing this is wrong doing. Before someone comes and reminds you. So a toxic relationship comes when you feel comfortable to being a ringleader. You feel comfortable to always be the winner and not growing and developing others. Mm. It becomes toxic when you feel your happiness needs to be your friends, your happiness always, your friends has to be there for you, but you are not one person who wants to be there for them. And being there for them is not only financial. When there's any bereavement, you must be there. When maybe someone says, no, I have a situation, I cannot collect kids or my mom and my wife, you are there. You compliment that person. In that situation, your friendship is not only based on you and I. Also, the family from my friend's side knows what I can come and knock. When they come, when I come and take your car, they'll never criticize and say, why are you taking this car? Because they already know our bond. And friendship that involves only also family becomes more stable than a friendship where we only meet. Go main lane, look okay, guy. At times you just call your friends and say, guys, we are taking our family out. Let's go. Then I come with my kids. You come with your kids. We sit down. But la go spare. It's not about us. It's about the bond that we want within the families, right? We go drop the kids. Later on, we say, it's about us now, guys. Let's go chill. We chill. But we have done two things in one day. So in summary, I'm saying if you are in a circle, how do you see where the circle is toxic? It's when you always want to be the ringleader without uplifting and growing your friends. Don't be one person who wants to use your friends. Every time when you have 10,000, you make them drunk. But you fail even to tell them the formula or how do you get that 10,000. Because in that case, you become the ringleader forever. Bona, when they look at you, now you become their God. Because once they say something, you cut them off. And then that friendship, it's materialistic. But these friends that I have, because we met when times were tough. I cannot say that materialistic friends. We met when we didn't have anything. So even now when we have something, it's God's blessings. And we also understand that what you have today, God can take it back. So all you have to do is to remain humble. Yeah. Simple as that.
I think you're right. And that's the issue that I have, especially Limachita. Because it's like, as men, we are able to say, I'm in a group of friends and maybe two of us are working. And one is not working. But we are able to say, I know. I'll cover. But when instead of us assisting in terms of our, you know what, arikole kenyana, and then into another more stoke, instead of us buying bottles, we'll stock anyana, sell something. We don't do that. It's like we like to be glorified. And I think that's the biggest problem that we have in a society. And if we can only change that, I think only then brotherhood can really be strong.
On that point, Pete, I also feel at times you will treat someone the way he wants to be treated. If every time I'm trying to put suggestions in terms of independence and you don't buy in, all you want is fun, I cannot give you what you don't want. So most of our friends or so-called social friends, we meet and then they want to talk about stock. They want to break blind again. And when we start talking about what is that we can do, but you are becoming diplomatic, you are becoming too serious. And then you end up doing what? You are not all of us serious. You come, you become part of them and you leave. Because you are treating them the way they want to be treated. But blame me, Peter, when you say to me, Taban Kenyaka plan. Today, no alcohol, no girls, no family, no nothing. It's you and me. I want 1 hour. I want to tell you my capabilities, my suggestions. I want to put them on the table. With your experience, from this, we just map or we just skeleton the idea. Then now just put the meat on the skeleton. You understand? Then I see this man who's visionary now. I start looking at you with a different view. We are going to discuss. He wants to change his life. Then I'm going to treat you the way you want me to be treated. Here the discussion, mapping out and whatnot. You promised me, Peter, no, you know what? This is my homework. Thank you for this homework. I'm going to give you feedback in the next coming 3 weeks. then in my mind, I know Rdimanuti Pile deadline. I'm looking at your response to this small meeting that we had. Mm. Then you come back with a proper report. If I do not help you, then I'm guilty as charged. But if now I'm trying to say, hey, Bafet, then I decide, or no, I must not talk about school when I'm with these people. Let me give them what they want. You want to ask me about Bali? I'll tell you about Bali the whole day. You don't ask me about my PhD, how long it will take, how it happened for me to register PhD, why is my study so important, how is it going to benefit the community. You are not interested in that. You are interested in asking me about Bali. I'll tell you about Bali.
And these are the very same people that come back and say, hey, Tabang waipon.
Okay. Yeah, waipon, because... when in your situation, you are not honest with yourself. If you are honest with yourself and say, you know what, I'm not happy where I am. Mm. And this man, Peter, I get him a user. But I'm going to make sure I make him understand or I'm not comfortable. But every time when I tell you, hey, Joe Kappa, Rea Men Lane, when you are always available, I'm treating you the way you want me to treat you. Mm. You will always be available when I have 10,000. And now maybe 10,000, get charity. Kirin kya snake. Mara wena wa need these 10,000. Why was our little didn't we need? How we need? Unyawerang, you want content to go, have fun, champagne, take pictures, videos, and then next thing tomorrow, videos they're circulating, you are breaking. Well, yesterday we had fun. It was someone's sweat. It was just someone's snake. It didn't bother even, it didn't even shake his bank account. Life goes on. Mara, for you, your life is stuck. You are stuck, my guy. So why not be honest and say, hey, Peter, this week I don't want alcohol. I don't want any social space. I want you and I. My brother, tell me, even if you don't tell me everything, but coach me, babysit me, tell me what to do. I know when you've been through this journey, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, but tell me where to start. I'm willing to start. Mm. Then I do what? I treat you the way you want to be. And someone will say, no, Joe, we'll have an hour of discussion. After discussion, we'll close the formal discussion, then we can part. I like that because we are able to do at two beds with one stone. Just to balance things. But if when you think of Tabang, you always think of booze, groove, chillase, visiting area. I'll give you that. I don't mind because you are also pushing and taking away my stress. Yeah. So you cannot say I'm unfair. You are also unfair to yourself for not being honest. Mm. And we start blaming people. And you'll see such people always changes friends. They always change friends and groups because they suck and suck and suck and suck and suck and suck. When you don't have anything, they go create another ally. They suck. So they are always running around the circle, but with the same objective of getting fun. A nice life, but sustainability is not there.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Sure. Now let's. Now let's talk about starting. Now. You are a businessman, entrepreneur. How did that journey begin for you?
Yeah, I think I said it to you last time that curiosity sometimes brings so much. Mm. Curiosity is just to say, when you look at Peter having a bottle, and then you ask yourself, where did Peter buy this bottle? Probably he bought it from Pick and Pay. That bottle does not look like a bottle from Pick and Pay, so it's privately owned. Mm. Or someone saw an opportunity and he grabs it. So in all spaces, you must look at the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that opportunity, own it. And when you own it, execute it nicely. Mm-hmm. And give it passion. And I will say, my entrepreneur didn't just wake up and say I'm an entrepreneur. I started selling sweets at when I was still in grade 10. Mm-hmm. Back in our times, Narababa Holojo. nearly than at 10.
Yeah.
Grade 10, I started selling sweets in class. And mem will always say, Tabang, you are disturbing other scholars, man. With your, I end up selling it in private. Mm. You know, I'll come in the morning, I just drop by the table, drop, and sit down. You already owe me.
Yeah.
You didn't ask, and the sweets are here on your table. You already asked. And then before lunch, I collect the man. Mm. Even if I don't collect today, tomorrow you owe me. Mm. I cannot put on the desk before you pay the payment. So those baby steps that you take, they teach you failures and the resilience, where you order one packet of sweets, you sell, no profit. Then you start all over again. You start all over again. And then that opens other doors. You start realizing, no, people don't want only sweets. They also want chocolate. So my entrepreneurial skills started from grade, as far as grade 10. Mm. And then you nature them. Mm. And then when you nature them, you start realizing that I have this thing in me. It's just what I need is resources. Mm. But you cannot just wake up one day and say you want to be a business person without any history. Mm. And with me, I always align my purpose with my spiritual life.
Yeah,
I go back to my family tree and say, okay, Sharp, you know, with our Peri tradition, they give you a name. When you are born, they say Utaba, but they will give you a name that belongs to the elders.
Oh, okay.
Or you can say sometimes they name you after someone who is an ancestor or someone who is still alive. Mm. Like myself, they name me Letebel, who is my father's big brother.
Okay.
But he's late.
Okay.
Yeah. So you start asking questions. Sorry, who's this Letebel? Because these names at times can bring glory and can bring downfall, depending on which name you inherit.
Yeah.
You start saying, let me look at my family tree. Who's rich in my family? And you find out, man, no one is rich. Then you start asking yourself, what's wrong? What's wrong? What is that? I want to zaga in this family. What is that that we're doing wrong, guys?
Yeah.
Then they say, no. Yes, these people are not rich, but specifically this one, this name we've given you, this man was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Then you align that character to your character and say, but I'm a hard worker. And then they say, this man was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Yeah, this man was well-spoken. Oh, Linda loves speak. Oh, it's a... Then you start doing what? You try communicating your purpose and your journey to your ancestors, to align it now, to tell them, I'm going to change the game. Kabona here, there's no money. There's just hard work. And hard work what? There's no output. There must be input. There must be output. Mm. But most of us, we just focus on the business and forget the gift. Mm. Remember, the gift is what you were given. It's what you have. No one will take away the gift.
No one.
You look at the soccer player. They are not trained to be soccer players. They are born with that gift. And then that gift, even when he's old, you give him a soccer ball. He will still play because it's a gift. So what happened is that align your business with your gift. Then if profit comes, it's a blessing. If it doesn't come, but it's something that is aligned with your gift. Mm. We can be pharmacists, both of us. But you find where I'm doing well, you are not doing well. Because you did not align your gift with what you chose. Mm. We must not be democratic about everything. Mm. Not everything is about democracy. At times, we must go back to our pre-colonial life, the indigenous way of doing things. Mm-hmm. The indigenous way of doing things is that our parents used to check life before you are even born. Or, hey, this child is going to be born. Who is this life? Is he bringing happiness? Or they used to do that, the olden days. Mm-hmm. So now we are in a modern space where you say, I want to be a pharmacist, but does it align with the purpose and does it align with the family tree from my family? Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be something new, it's not wrong to do something new, but just know that now the expectations will be high because there's no referral, there's no consultation. Mm. It's you who's starting this.
From scratch.
But remember, when you're doing it and starting from scratch, lucky enough, you will be opening doors for the next generation that is coming after you. So when you do things, it's not only for you. Sometimes you do it for you because you want to buy clothes for yourself, you want a shelter for yourself. But later on, you start realizing that you have all of this. Now, what you are working towards now is legacy. And what is that you're going to leave behind? Then when you are going to be an ancestor and someone inherit your name and your character, it's a continuation of consistency. So if you are not doing anything now, chances of not changing that family tree, they are high. But if you were to change yourself and make sure you work to your capacity till the final bell where they say, I'm a cuckoo. I'm a, yeah, you work so hard as if tomorrow is not promised. But chances are tomorrow you're going to get. It's not promised, but you're going to get.
Yeah.
And
consistent.
So I aligned my business with my gift. That is why I always fail in other businesses. Like I'll never do tenders. I fail. I think I was robbed millions out of tenders. Hey, ngadime zaka, get laira watwate, reka inginge venda. Hey, I lost millions because of that. It's not part of me. It's not in within that family that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Some people get money out of luck. I don't get money out of luck. I get money out of hard work. Mm-hmm. But there are people who are gifted in getting money out of luck. I go and gamble. That machine will tell me everything that I have. I do not have the spirit alignment with luck. And I work hard. For me to meet Peter, it means there must be something that I'm doing that is going to make me. I met you business-wise.
Yeah.
I didn't meet you just someone referral saying, Peter, meet, you came to do something in my pharmacy and then we met. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything that I have, it was through hard work.
Mm.
And people ask, Tabang, where do you get time? I mean, if I have time to gym, just to go lift weight, then it means I will have time for everything.
Hey.
So I've invested in that alignment, aligning my gift with my family tree and my spiritual journey. Simple as that. If I see a business opportunity, I go pray about it and I go speak to ancestors and say, show me the light. Should I go? They say, no. How they show me? Don't ask. Mara, no. Then I don't go. I tell you, Peter, our pants are boom. And then I don't go. It's like, every business makes sense, but sometimes it will not make sense to you, but make sense to someone else. So you need to have that element of knowing when to act, how to act, and how to, when, what, and how. You see that?
Yeah.
Very important. But at the most, what makes business fail is that we always think every business is meant for you.
Ish.
And that's not the case.
Wow. You know, you're
you're
one of the few people that emphasizes that you need to align.
Yeah.
There must be an alignment with what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because, hey, a lot of people, I mean, I've also been a victim of this. All you want is that I just want a business. I want to make money.
You understand?
And we overlook now these little aspects that contribute to this business becoming a success.
Yeah.
But what I picked up is that a lot of entrepreneurs, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you must start selling sweets at school. It's like every entrepreneur.
Because it's the cheapest way of exercising
and getting that experience.
Your entrepreneurial skills and cap is the cheapest way of doing it.
Because I myself sold sweets.
Yeah.
Some other people that I know, they sold sweets.
I also sold veggies when it was not fashionable.
Yeah.
And after selling veggies, these ladies will start mocking you and say, yo, ujayadi khrunde. It was not easy. But it taught me so many things, like the borrowing issue where you buy something and you are not able to cover the operational cost. I learned that when I was still doing grade 11, that at times you can run a business that does not give you profit, but you need resilience for you to get it right. Somewhere, somehow it's wrong. It's either you are ordering from an expensive supplier, or the method of delivery is wrong, or the number of items you put inside the packet is wrong. Then you start realigning those things and checking. Then the profits start getting somewhere.
Yeah.
But that trains you for the real thing. It trains you for the real thing. Because you go to a setup where you want to own a pharmacy, they tell you our rent is 45. They do not care how you make that 45. For the fact that they built them on and they put you next to a shop, right? Their assumptions and their projections were saying, for the fact that you are next to a shop, right? You must pay more, and this is how much you must pay. Then whose responsibility to get to that? It's your responsibility. If customers don't see your business as potent, they go to another business. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Because you are selling the same thing. Atkodol is Atkodol. But if they want Atkodol from Clicks, you must ask yourself why they want Atkodol from Clicks, not from my pharmacy. But within that, you start now analyzing and say, what is that that I'm not doing right? Hence, I went and do masters in pharmacy management and public relation. So now you want to know how to relate to the public and how to manage this pharmacy. Mm. So you go and learn a skill. Mm. Remember, education sometimes brings skill. It complements what you already have. I had a business. I owned a business from 2013. Only 2017, I went to school and I did that master's. But after coming back with that skill, it changed the game. Yeah. And then when it changed the game, now you start realizing, oh man, it's not only about profit, but it's about building the market and making sure at the end of the day, I'm satisfied and customers are satisfied. But the market is becoming small because everyone wants to be a business person. So you need to be distinct. What is that is you are going to do that is different from the rest? Mm. Now it goes back to what? Curiosity. You don't just look at customers flooding in your pharmacy and you become comfortable. You need to start thinking over and above 2 years in the next coming, your next coming 2 years. What is that I will be doing? Will I still be doing this? And I think it will still be relevant. No. You look around, you check your McDonald's. I think it's only McDonald's that had drive-thru. But now if you look at other franchise, they realize, oh, man, if a drive-thru is the way to go. Most of the franchise now, this food franchise, they've got drive-thru. I mean, even Wimpy have drive-thru. Then you start realizing, well, these people are visionary. They look at the business 2025, they've already done 2025 in 2023. So now they're busy with 2028. But you are focused on 2025 alone. 2026 comes, you are doomed. Because you are not visionary. You are just short-sighted and looking at it. So you need to always, when you are in business, be curious to say, what's the next step? What's my next move? There's someone next to me. How can I better the situation?
Wow.
You see me now doing PhD. I'm doing PhD in telemedicine, which is very rare. It's very rare. Telemedicine was introduced during COVID. It's something new. People want to do things at their convenient space. So I want to introduce telemedicine at the rural areas because I know that space is still, you understand. So I'm bringing something new. It's not something that is going to work. I'm working towards 2028 in 2025. 2028, you'll be calling me, Tavan, come and tell me about telemedicine. And by that time, it will be relevant. But I started 2025 for 2028. That's how in business you need to, that's why your cliques, your discount, they are so excelling because they've got experts behind who project and who are forever working to bring business models to improve the service and to bring new things. They are always innovative. And as a business person, if you are not innovative, you are doomed, my guy. Up, you are not running a spaza. Unless you want to run a spaza shop, cool beans is cool beans. But if you want to sell cool beans through a drive-thru, you need to be innovative. Think out of the box.
Wow.
Yeah, and not relax.
Wow.
We relax when we get nice profit, but forgetting that nice profit is temporary. It's not sustainable. Things can happen. COVID can hit you. People stop going to work. Then what are you going to do? I realized also the choice of business during COVID. Or you know what? It's not all businesses that make sense. And COVID showed us that.
It showed a lot of entrepreneurs. Actually,
yeah, right. No. We are actually, yes, you think your business is, it's a need. It's not a need. It's a want. Not,
yeah.
So when you do business also, you need to look at that. Is my business a need or a want? And then COVID exposed such elements, but it helped us to focus now and change how we used to view business. We all want to be business people, but not all of us are meant to be business people. That's what I always emphasize to people.
Harsh reality.
Yeah, not everyone is supposed to be. Some people are just supposed to be strategists. Some people are meant to be business people. Some people are just meant to be consultants. And some people are meant to work for others. And they can still get rich from working for others.
Because that's what they're good at.
That's what they're good at. Yeah. And some people are born to be politicians. And some people are just born to be critics. And that's it. You cannot go debating with someone who was born to be a criticizer. He can criticize you from a shack while you are staying in a three-mansion waterfall. He doesn't care. He was born to do it. And he will crush you. So all you need to do is to be what do you call this? An intellect in terms of analyzing situations. Don't just follow the beat. Mm. Analyze that beat.
Wow.
Yeah, analyze that beat.
Yeah, that's powerful. Now, you own about 5 pharmacies, if I'm not mistaken, plus other ventures.
Yeah.
Throughout this entrepreneurial journey, what would you say was the biggest lesson you've learned in running these businesses personally?
Out of all this, one thing is that keep your credit score or your credit worth or your credit positive.
Yeah.
Don't mess up with the bank. Protect your name, protect your ID. Mm. In all cases, make sure your credit score is always on par. Because you'll never know when it's going to rain. And when it's going to rain,
it pours.
It pours. Some of your friends, your reliable friends, they would like to help you, but they don't have that capacity. Because what they have, it's what they use to sustain themselves and their families. And then you are asking 500K, where are you going to get it? But if you've got a positive or a well-held financial background, or if I were to put it, a financial well-sound status, you can go into the bank, produce your ID and whatsoever, and get a loan, 500K or one meter, depending on your capacity, and you are able to now resuscitate your business. But if your credit score is doomed, my guy, you are in trouble. All the banks will look at you and say you are a joke.
I agree with you, right? But then I also want to defend some, you know, there are people that messed up their credit scores while trying to revive their businesses.
Yeah.
What do we do?
But it happens. Yeah. Remember, business, whether we like it or not, every business, it's a risk. And being a risk, you must understand that risk needs management. What do you call risk management? Risk management is like you going to the zoo. You know you're going to the zoo, you're going to see a python. But it's risky to see a python, but they've made sure there are safety measures for this python not to escape and to bite you. So they are managing what? The risk. Mm. So what we fail to do is to understand that it's not always when the business doesn't work, you must start going to the loan and trying to resuscitate the business. The message, if it's loud enough, saying, I'm not working. Listen to that message. I'm not working. Because the very same business you are doing, someone is doing it and it's excelling. So when you are failing to do that business, why do you now want to go and increase more debt while you see where there was a small fail? So in situations like that, I always prefer people to do consultation. Don't just act out of emotions and disappointment. You consult. And there are consultants for different businesses. And you coming to consult from me does not mean I must be an expert in your business. But I will be reasoning and advising you based on my experience as a businessman. That, you are saying you couldn't pay rent and whatsoever. Oh, you know what I did? Every day, during my checking, I will take maybe 300, put it aside because I know I'm bad with saving. So I will take 300 every day. If I know my rent, for example, is 12,000, I will put 300 every day. Then month end, reconcile how much is it. Then I pay that amount. And only from the portion of my profit, I add. It becomes what a strategy that if you come to me, I tell you about it. Then you say, no, that strategy for me will not work because I do not deal with cash every day. Then it means our consultation was not relevant or was not actually answering your problem. Then you go consult to someone else. Probably from that consultation, you'll grab something where you were doing things wrong. And so don't be scared to ask. Never think you are Mr. Know-it-all. Mm. Consult and get a mentor. Every business person must have a mentor. I believe in that. Mm. Because a mentor is someone who went through this and is able to say, no, it is a challenge, but let's be solution-based.
Oh.
It is a challenge. You cannot win from this challenge. It's either take a right or take a left. Mm-hmm. He will tell you that. And then it's a recommendation and you make a decision. But with us, we respond. And when you respond, you quickly go to the bank and you come back to fail again without consultation.
Yeah. That's well answered.
Yeah.
Well answered. Now, for someone who wants to, who's thinking of getting into the pharmacy space, what are the real challenges they should be aware of?
Yeah, no, look, one thing that is not nice about pharmacy is that it's professionally regulated. It has the do's and the don'ts. Mm. And the regulations form part of your operational costs. And those operational costs, obviously, they come from your profit. So most people come to pharmacy with the mindset that they're going to make money. And if you come with that mindset that pharmacy, you're going to make money, you are in trouble. Because pharmacy, it has its own dynamics. But the difficult one that I would say is the regulations around it, because it will say you must have a pharmacist all at times. It means you cannot even go on vacation. It turns you into, what do you call this? Not a businessman. You know, a businessman is someone who has money and can hire people. That's a businessman. But an entrepreneur is someone who owns and self-employed in that business. So pharmacy is turning you into a self-employed somebody. So you need to be at the pharmacy all the time. If you don't want to, you must pay for the convenience. Meaning, if I'm not around, there must be a pharmacist that I pay. Then that comes from the profit. So if you are in a market, markets are not the same. I mean, market in Sentin and market in Rosebank and market in Pola don't be the same. Someone in Pola will buy a box of Adcodol for 18 rand.
Mm.
And then someone in Sentin will buy a cancer drug which costs 18,000. So you can check the profit margin already. Mm. But the regulations are one. Irrespective of those dynamics, the regulations is one by one. They don't care. They are not saying in this space of environment, this, in this space of environment, that they do what we call single exiting price.
Mm.
Someone in Sentin and someone in Rural is still paying the same price, all in the name of single exiting price. And that alone, if you are not affiliated to big suppliers who can give you discounts, it becomes very difficult for you to compete with Clicks. Because Clicks will say, no, this is 13 rand, but you are selling it at 20 rand. The price difference is 7 rand.
And
that old gogo wants that 7 rand to add to the price he upgrade. When you are saying price difference is 7, don't worry, my gogo. It's the same at Kodon. He will always go for 13 rand.
Mm.
So that's where trouble comes in.
Mm.
And nonetheless, no other serious issues, but the regulation around pharmacy is the one that actually compromise the profit.
Mm.
So you end up now changing your view towards pharmacy and say, no, pharmacy is not only about profit. It's a business that is sustainable, that I'm sure whether COVID comes or whatsoever, I will still be running this pharmacy. But if you are profit orientated and you are only focusing on profit, you're going to be in trouble. So you must be in a situation where you are patient-orientated. And then once the patient becomes happy, they come flooding.
Mm.
Then you gain more patient than you gain more profit. And when you gain more patient, definitely it's going to increase the pocket of your profit. But if you're looking at profit, your markup will be high. You'll be pushing for sales where there are no sales. But if you are patient-orientated, you care more about taking care of those people so that they can keep on flooding. Then when they keep on flooding, you are taking care of them, they increase the profit margin.
So do you also consider your demographics where your pharmacy is located in terms of stocking?
Yeah, that's very important because demographically, some products will sell, some will not sell.
Mm.
I mean, as if you go to a rural area and then you start selling, for argument's sake, let's say you start selling sleeping pills, these big ones, I don't want to call them the brands.
Yeah.
Those people are not depressed, but you come to the urban area and you start selling sleeping pills and depression pills, they will make more money and those make more profit than what we are selling at rural areas. Remember, rural area, they will be buying Alcofilex, Matambo, Panado, Citro Soda, those basic things, and it's small profit margin. Here they buy, they are always depressed and they are always suffering from this rich illness and whatnot, your anxiety, depression, compulsive disorder, and those pills, people will pay. So demographics plays a huge role.
I get it. Now, would you, I know you are a man of God.
Yeah.
Would you say that your faith played a huge role in running your business?
Yeah, no. Like I said last time, faith grooms you, or faith, I would say, it shapes your values. You start having values that are aligned with humanity. Mm. Because at the end of the day, the money that you want comes from these human beings. Mm. So once you start respecting humans and treating them not as project, or not treating them as items, how you treat your employees, not just treating them as your workers, passerbys, not just treating them as visitors, you are building a community. And then once you build your community, these people start respecting you before they respect the business. Mm. You know, someone can just get angry that he came to your pharmacy and you were shouting at the employee. Then he says, no, that man doesn't have manners. I'm not going to that business anymore. Mm. But faith brings humility in you. It teaches you and it shapes you in a sense that you become humble. And most people always have this envy to say, hey, this one bought X5 because we are supporting him. But when they see you being humble, that doesn't click in their mind. Someone will say, no, not that guy. You don't even see what is driving X5 because he's so humble. He's here. You come there at the pharmacy, he will take all his time and effort giving you attention. Then that alone, it shows you at times the morals and the life that we get from the instructions of Christianity shapes you how you interact with people, and that goes a long way. You help someone, you don't know who his uncle is, a CEO, guy. He calls his uncle and say, no, I got help from this pharmacy, from this gentleman, Tabang, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, because you were what? You were gentle to this person. Then you end up meeting a CEO of whatnot because of that interaction. Because he was worried. He said, take 1,000 rand, Yako pharmacy, try to get help and tell me the response. When that person gives feedback to the CEO is impressed. Then already you have gained a resource in your capacity. So that's why now I say Christianity shaped the way I respond to situation and the way I conduct myself. And even when things don't make sense, I can see, all right, but this one is against my faith. For argument's sake, if you come to me and say you want to buy abortion, but I do not have any choice. Mm. Leave my belief aside. Obligation is that I must sell them to you.
So your faith has been tested.
In that case, it's been tested because, you know, we believe in life. And now when someone comes and buy those pills and, you know, Vele, what do you do? You have to put it aside and focus on your oath. Your oath was you must be the first priority is the patient's health, not your belief, not your religion, not your imagination. This person needs these pills. And it was her decision and the doctor's decision. So dispense. Put your faith aside. That's where now and then it gets tested. Mm. And you just have to do what? Accept. It's like, I think, being a Christian and being an attorney, having to lie and protect a murderer, that's part of your profession. So you take your faith, you put it aside and focus on the execution of the job.
So you can't merge the two.
You can't. If you merge the two, sometimes you're going to close your own pharmacy. Even the regulation will close your pharmacy. There was a regulation that says if a pharmacist does not want to sell the abortion pills to you due to his religion and whatsoever, you have the right to open a case against that person. Mm. Yeah.
Sure.
Because remember, abortion in South Africa, it's legal.
Yes.
It's legal. I mean, they say it was signed many years ago. Mm. For as long as the child is over 13, he can have an abortion. Mm. You understand my point?
Yeah.
So now if when you say no abortion and then the child feels, sorry, this pregnancy is going to change my life and whatsoever, I don't want it. And who are you when not to come and bring your faith in here? Because mm-hmm. you took an oath and say, I will save you the public. So save the public.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's where now I say now and then the faith and whatsoever. But yeah.
And what role does prayer, especially since you're a man of God, what role does prayer play in your decision making in your business?
Yeah, no, like I said to you last time, Hore, if you come with a new business, I pray about it.
Yeah.
And answers will come in so many ways.
Uh-huh.
And I do not like, reporting to God. I like informing Him and involving Him. So if there's a new business adventure, I'll tell you, if we meet during the week, I'll tell you, let me go think about it. I'm waiting for Sunday so that during the mass intention, when the priest says, bring all the intentions, I bring that business into, I say, God, there's this business.
Yeah,
if it's meant for me, bring it to me. If
that's
it's not meant, then what will happen is that I will not have the money to finance that business. That's how I knew, or no, this business is not meant for me. But if I have money for that business, then it means God has answered my prayer. That's how I align things.
So my business was not meant for you.
No.
If you don't know, you know, I once pitched.
No.
I pitched to this man.
Yeah.
So my business was not.
My prayer was simple. God, give me direction.
Yeah.
I'm doing this business, but there's this other business adventure.
Okay.
I put it unto you and then you give me answers.
Yeah.
I mean, if He gives me, it's simple. If He gives me money and it's meant for me, but if I do not get money and I struggle to get money, then it means it's not. Because God cannot provide you with half. When He gives, He gives it all.
Yeah.
If He brings Peter to me with a business idea, He must give me an idea of how I'm going to fundraise that money.
Yeah.
Then if Peter comes and I speak to God and nothing comes, is then answer? What answer do you think? You think God will come and say no? He cannot come and say no. Through the interactions, that's where you get the answers. Remember, life is a trial and error issue. We were told about faith. And faith is believing what you don't see. So don't expect God to come and tell you, but with actions, you'll see. In Catholic faith, we say Holy Spirit in action, faith in action. Faith in action simply means what you believe in must happen practical. It's not just supposed to be something that you preach and nothing happens on the ground. You understand? Yeah.
Now, as a father, right, what lessons do you want your children to learn as they watch your journey unfold? What is the biggest lesson you'd want them to take away from your journey?
That hard work pays. Endurance. You know, we don't enjoy our journey. Sometimes our journey, it's hard to be on that journey at that moment. But that endurance and persistence, you know, understanding that God's timing, it's important. And people maybe take it like, you know, there are people who believe in God. I believe in God and ancestors. Like I told you, I believe in God and ancestors.
Do you mind explaining how those two go hand in hand?
No, personally, I will tell you, Bible is about interpretation. And people misinterpret the Bible a lot.
Yeah.
But in my childhood, I was taught how to, appease the ancestors or how to involve them in our lives.
Mm.
And at the same time, Sunday being taught to go to church.
Mm.
Then I realized, there's a complementary intersection somewhere where this thing has to meet. And I'll say why. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ. If you read the book of John, it starts by telling you the ancestors of Jesus Christ, as far as from the Genesis, Adam going to whatsoever. Then who am I if the Bible still mentions and brings them in the New Testament and I don't acknowledge them? And I came to this realization that pre-colonization, We had our own way of doing things. And what was our own way of doing things? We used to ignite and evoke and speak to these ancestors. I believe if someone dies, something happens. We don't know what happens, but we were taught or he becomes an ancestor. You understand? Jesus, we pray to Jesus, he's an ancestor. Because if you define an ancestor, what is an ancestor? Don't try to be diplomatic and try to be fancy about it. What is an ancestor? Someone who passed. Jesus is an ancestor. You go to, what I love about Catholic faith is that it approves Old Testament and New Testament. But this new Pentecost church only talks about New Testament. But if you go to Old Testament, they mention many a times how ancestors, how God made a covenant with the ancestors. And he didn't want to punish the current generation because he made a promise with the ancestors. But now we come and change and say, because we are being democratic and say, no, there are no ancestors. But when we talk in the Bible, all of those people are talking about their ancestors. So I took a conclusion to say, but let me continue with what worked for my parents, because they used to practice that. And learn now, because I learned from my parents, let me continue. And it worked for me. If I were to go to heaven and then explain to God, I will tell God, this complementary, this synergy, this group work was working. You with my ancestors, you were working. Because I've never isolated myself from anyone.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that I don't do. There are certain rituals that I don't do. Mm. But communicating with my ancestors and now and then involving them, informing them with everything, I do that. I do not leave the house, or I do not go to a business meeting without praying and also telling my ancestors. I have a place where I talk to my ancestors. Munati, I take snake, I talk to them. I don't have a problem. You can judge me as you want, but as long as it's working for me. Because even in heaven, it's going to be me and God. I will explain to him. And later you can see it's working nicely. Because my mom is a Christian.
Mm.
He believes in God.
Mm.
Then he dies. What happens to my mom? He's nobody now. No, he's an ancestor who believed in God. So when I pray to God and I talk to my ancestors, grandmama, because you knew how to pray while you were still here on earth.
Mm.
So why now I come and I listen to the flowing air, I'm not a follower. I do what works for me. Mm-hmm. And genuinely, if something works for you, my guy, Peter, don't allow someone to come and Bluetooth what is not working for him. Mm-hmm. And you might have that you don't have a connection with your ancestors because your parents and your family never believed in that and they never practiced that. So you don't know, you don't have the experience. But if you have the experience and you want to stop now, what are you trying to do? You are messing up your life. You are just causing confusion in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be going to psychologist. You'll be going in hospital then because you do not understand your true origin. There was always an indigenous way of solving things. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will say, I don't believe in ancestors. But all of them, when they get married, they pay lobol. When they get married, they slaughter a cow. Mm-hmm. When they get married, they still do the tradition. You understand?
Yeah,
but they say they don't believe in ancestors. And remember, marriage, when you do it, you are doing it for the ancestors. Yeah, honeymoon is the one that you do for yourself and for your woman. You understand? More honeymoon ko enalim sadia because you are only two. But the marriage itself and the ceremony is not only you. It's uncles involved, different families involved. They take the money. Why now? It was only introduced now when they can do the transaction ka food. But it's not even allowed traditional. If you are not believing in tradition, why do you still do lobol? And if you don't believe in ancestors and tradition, why do you still do mutlobol? And then if you don't believe in tradition, why do you still allow Malome to be on the program? Why do you allow Rakhari to be on the program? Because according to the tradition, it's the hierarchy. No, according to the tradition, Uncle and Rakhari get the hierarchy. They are the biggest in the hierarchy of igniting the ancestors. Mudiro, any a ceremony without Rakhari, it's doomed. Any event without Malome is doomed. That's tradition. And you cannot talk about tradition and not talk about ancestors.
Mm.
You are failing yourself. You slaughter a cow, Lisa Mokabiso, Baraka Mokabiso, Lairadi, what. You do that, but you say you don't believe in ancestors.
Wow. This is a conversation that we need to continue some other day. Honestly, this one, this one will ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
Has being a father changed how you see success, money, and time?
Yeah, a lot. Being family orientated, it humbles you, my guy. I'm telling you, you now understand that if you've got 1,000 rand, your only money from that 1,000 rand is 200 rand. Mm. 800 rand is school fees. It's baby, I want this, I want that. Mm. It's transport money. Mm. It's food in the house. It's takeaways. Mm. And then in that case, you walk out of the house knowing that you are the only provider. Yes. There might be other assistants from your wife and other, but you are the head of the house. You are the provider. So when you come back, even when you are at work, with the stress level that you have at work, they call you. There is no electricity. It's an instruction. It's a demand. It's not maybe. They want electricity. So that alone starts shaping you to say, I'm not alone in this journey.
Mm.
Yeah. And if my priorities are not set right, let me realign them. Family comes first. Meaning I cannot go drink Hennessy while my family abana cheese. Mm. I cannot now go try to please people outside while my child doesn't even have extra shoes to change from last week's shoes.
Mm.
Mara, when you are able to buy Hennessy and to shine, it doesn't make sense. To me, I'm like, if there's one principle that you must invest in, is to make sure that family comes first and the rest after. Oh, yeah, because at the end of the day, those people motivate you. You cannot sit at home while you know you don't have electricity. That electricity, whether it benefits, you cannot be selfish and say, I will stay in the dark. When you remember and you hear the voice, young one, I want to watch DSTV.
Mm.
You will pay the DSTV, Peter. Your child saying, daddy, I want a bread.
Mm.
Well, you will make a plan. Mm. But when, for yourself, if there's no bread, you can still always make a plan.
Yeah.
Postpone. Try to call your friend and say, look, okay, I have a fetch you. And then you know when they're around Vela, they will buy something. And then but for your kids, who's there? Who's going to do that? No one.
So only you.
That alone motivates you to say, I always tell people, don't tell your children not to eat how many slices of cheese, or not to tell your children, lefetsa cheese.
Mm.
Think of how can I make sure I buy cheese in bulk that these kids don't even see what is finished. Simple as that. And that statement comes from what? From the message when he says, daddy, I want cheese. But if they are not there, daddy, we want cheese, electricity, you live a lonely life, an isolated life. You become a street boy, ujari takeaway. It's about you, man. And that's not discipline. That's not discipline. It's just a formula for disaster, because you will be available at any time, at any cost to everyone. Because they know, but the family keeps you grounded. And you know, that small mama of mine, my same age, is going to make noise. Let me go. That's what I like about the family oriented, is that it keeps you grounded. And at that point, you grow. You can compare someone who's staying as a bachelor and someone who has a family. You look at the progress. That alone will tell you.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
There's a huge difference.
I've seen it,
yeah, there's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's something I commend about you, you know, that I've seen. Also, sometimes you post about it. Like, you do a lot of community work, community service, without even seeking recognition.
Yeah.
Why is it important to give back to the community?
You know, at times we go in business for profit, right? But later on, you start realizing that at some point before the business, you used to live this life.
Mm.
You used to need, or you wish to be in a situation where someone can just come and be a solution to your problem.
Mm.
I mean, for the fact that you are eating every day, Peter, does not mean everyone is having that privilege.
Eating.
Yeah. So you being in that situation, you start understanding what the very same people that are supporting my business, when someone is sick, when he has headache, that headache reminds her or him that this is not a want, it's a need for you to go buy a pill. Mm. So this person has 30 rand in his pocket. Mm. Now he has to choose headache or borotho. What will he choose? He will choose headache because it's paining now. Then he comes to your pharmacy, he buys Panado. He's left with how much? 10 rand. He can't buy bread. Mm. Then when at tomorrow, you do not come to a point where you say, this is a token of appreciation. This is me saying to you guys, we are a community. You supported me and I'm with you. You always give, you don't receive. This time let it be a two-way where you receive. And when someone starts realizing what you are not treating them like customers, you are treating them like your family, then they become loyal to your business. They will leave the cheapest clicks to come buy from you because they know you are orientated in community development, community engagement, community. You are part of us. That's what they always say. When you bring something, they say, no, Thabang, we love the fact that you are trying to be part of us. You come from Pretoria, you were a stranger, and we looked at you and say, how can we support a stranger? But we realized or no one from this community came with this idea. Then we started just supporting because we didn't have a choice. But later on, we started realizing, or no, you don't just want to take from us. You want to be part of us. And we now take you as one of us. Whoever wants to touch you is touching us as a community. Then you start realizing, well, this thing of giving goes a long way. Yeah.
Because I'm asking this because I see, you know, a lot of people are just giving back for clout.
Yeah.
They just want to be seen or be seen as if they give back, and you give back without no one touching.
Yeah.
You know, so I really commend that. Yeah. I really do. So if you were to speak to young entrepreneurs right now, what message would you give them?
I think the best advice is that they must record their journey. You know, the failures that we always do is that we have a journey or we have a story to tell, but we do not write. Mm. If you look at the books that I wrote, the first one was A Whisper of a Father to My Children. And then the second one is Man Makes Mistakes. So I tried to document my life and my journey. So as an entrepreneur, you document your journey, how you started. You started selling sweets, you started selling veggies and whatsoever and whatnot. So that when you look back and you want to give up, you look back and say, but look how far I come. So, but if you do not document, it's just you having imagination. You don't respect your craft. Respecting your craft is taking your ideas very serious before you even implement them. Respecting these ideas and putting them down, that's step number one. Number two, like I said to you, your credit score, never play around with your credit score, because at times you don't have rich uncles, you don't have sponsors to come. All you need is what it's at the disposal. And what is at the disposal is your FNB, your Capitec, your, but if your credit score, you didn't manage it and you didn't take care of it, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to, you will end up now having to call Peter into your business to be your partner because you do not have money. Later on, when it's profit, it's you who's putting more effort and Peter still brags about, I started this business, this is my money. And he's telling you the truth. But if it's FNB, FNB will even structure a loan plan, how to pay this amount. And you'll be, because it's a business, it was a business loan. The business, if the business is doing well, you'll be able to, it will be able to pay itself without even tampering with your credit score. So always never forget to be credit worthy. Because if you do not maintain that and you are in trouble, it's another situation. Gone are those days where they will say, submit a business plan, we'll read the business plan and we'll fund you. They don't read this business plan anymore. Now the banks want a business that already has a turnover. They tell you, bring a turnover, tell your accountant, how can you bring a turnover when the business has not started? So, but what you can bring is your ID, your credit worthy record, and put it on the table and say, I'm not loaning this to buy an expensive car. I'm loaning this to change my life. Then it becomes easier. But to a young entrepreneur, I'm saying not all of us were meant to be business people. Some of us will just remain as entrepreneurs who are innovative, who brings ideas. But being a business person simply means you are able to explore other avenues and do them very well and nicely. But some, it's not like that. You are just going to be an entrepreneur where you have to be an expert in one thing and invest in that. But some, they just want to, because Peter owns this and then also owns that, then they want to replicate. So we must not replicate. We must look at our strength. And then after looking at your strength, you invest in that strength. And what I love about business is that one business opens doors to others. But be analytic and analyze. Remember, when you start making money, you start inviting hooligans and you start inviting strangers. You start inviting also fraudsters. They start saying, oh, there's money pouring here. So you are going to be easily accessible, thinking what everyone wants you to be part in their business, only to find that it's fraudsters. I mean, we know of big people who are good in business, Baba William, because of poor research, thinking what if I invest here, like the deceased Tembu and whatsoever, if you read about him, his downfall was that he had so much money, but one mistake of just wrong investment, everything went boo. So we must understand that not all business opportunities that come your way, they're your business or they're yours. Some, let them pass, doc. Let them pass. Get a mentor. And then when you have something, consult. Never think you are Mr. Know-it-all. Consult and focus. Discipline, most important. When you have a business that is making good profit, it's making profit, but it has chances also of working from hand to mouth. And then once you work from hand to mouth, that business does not become sustainable, even though it's profitable, but it's not sustainable. So you need to be in a situation where you start understanding your business to say, is this business that I must save every month to make sure I have money for the next coming 3 months if things don't go well? But we must not be business people who just work from hand to mouth to pay cars, house, and then next cycle again is that you look for money for, then the month end will always stress you. I know month end stress most of the business people because we are doing it the wrong way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. Lastly, I want to know that how do you maintain this humility and stay grounded when God keeps elevating you? I think it's very important that a lot of people understand this and learn, because, you know, as God blesses us, some people change.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but now how do you maintain that humility and being grounded as God keeps elevating you?
Yeah, look, I think now most, the genesis of everything started from my interaction with people, and that interaction with people brought good friends or brought opportunities. Mm. That's what I always respect. Mm. Or at some point, it means I was good to these people. Mm. Hence, they were allowing me to come to their space.
Mm.
So anything that comes from that, I appreciate. And I appreciate, it simply means whether big or small, to me, it's a blessing. And once you have that mentality, you start understanding that a blessing can come today and a blessing can live tomorrow.
Mm.
So if I met Peter and Peter was good to me, it was a blessing. Mm. And if I don't respect Peter, I got whatever that I got from Peter, because at first it was a blessing to meet Peter. If I forget that respecting Peter will keep this blessing going on, then that's where the problem is. So my cornerstone here, it's respecting the fact that everything that comes to me, it's not a must, it's a privilege. You understand? When you treat everything as a privilege, you start understanding where it's not yours forever. Ask anyone who bragged, where, nah, I have money. There were situations where things were down. And where is that conversation? Or will you still brag to people and say, I have money? But if you brag about the people that you have around you are rich. Because you know you've got Peter who can help you with this, help you with that, and whatnot. So I respect every interaction that I had with everyone around my circle. I respect that before anything. Then I know her. All I have to do is just to maintain this bond that I have with my associate, whoever that I met. Then in that case, the blessing or whatever business that came as a blessing, it's well maintained as well. Then I will survive. But a minute you think whatever that you have, it was a must and it was meant for you, then you are going to be doomed, or you are doomed already, because at the end of the day, when things go wrong, you will start blaming people. You'll start blaming gossip and all that. But you fail to respect the very same people to avoid this gossip. You fail to respect these people to avoid the corridor information and whatsoever about you. Because these people, if you don't respect them now, don't expect them to be there for you when things go down. So, Basic, let's go there. Understand, or everyone who comes to your life, it's a privilege and it's a blessing, and respect that context. Only that, then you'll go far. Simple as that.
Before I let you go, there's a tradition that we have on the show. It's called the legacy box. As you can see, the shiny box
Shiny box.
So every guest that comes in on the show, I ask them to write a quote, an advice, a message that they want to give to the future leaders, future entrepreneurs, whatever that comes from the heart.
Yeah.
So I know that I've asked you to write this. I see you already have the letter for me there.
Yeah.
So whenever you're ready, I'll ask you to drop this note that you have for me.
Yeah, no, I'll just drop it. The shiny box.
Yeah, the shiny box. The serious legacy that we're building here. Thank you so much. You know, this, I always say this. This for me is like a special moment, because for me, I believe this is how legacies are made. The our conversation that we had today will help someone and will live beyond this episode, you know. So I believe this is what legacies are made of. So thank you for that.
No, pleasure, okay.
Thank you so much for coming and spending these few hours with me. I really appreciate it. This was a very powerful conversation. And I would like to congratulate you on your success. Congratulate you on your business, on the brotherhood that you have, and also congratulate you on your books. I can't wait to get my hands on that. I know you mentioned that you are currently working on a website where we can get the books, purchase the books from there. We'll be waiting for that, but congratulations on that. Now, I promise, before I let you go, I just have three little questions that I want to ask you. It's just a little game that I just want to play with you. And the rule of this game is that you don't have to think much. I hit you with a question, you just give me an answer straight up. Right? You ready? So, if you could keep one thing, right? Business, friendship, or peace? Which one would you keep?
Peace.
Yeah. Machita gone.
Peace. Peace.
Zaga gone.
Peace. Peace.
Okay. The second one. What's the best advice you've ever received?
You don't own a woman. When things go bad or sour, just remember you don't own a woman. And if you understand that you don't own a woman, you'll never do GBV. You'll never feel entitled that someone was supposed, before he does whatsoever, he was supposed to think of the things that he did, you did for her or whatsoever. You do not own that woman. If she decides to leave, let her leave. You don't have the right to kill that woman. You do not own that woman. If the lady decides to date Peter, your best friend tomorrow, you do not own that woman. Just make peace. And then I think because women are not a want, they are a need. So they will always form part of our parcel in life. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to manage them, some people, they were warriors, they've fallen because of women. Some, they were rich, they've fallen because of women. So we must start learning how to manage this species.
Okay.
Yeah.
Powerful. Faith or hustle, which one do you choose?
Faith.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Tabang, Thank you so much, man, for this conversation. I really appreciate. And to you, our audience, thank you so much for tuning into the show. If there's anything that resonated with you in this powerful conversation with Thabang, please do like, share, comment, and don't forget to subscribe. Until the next episode, this is Success Unscripted with Peter Manjad. My brother.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so
my
much.
Guy.
This
sure,
was
buddy.
Powerful. Thank
for,
you.
Thanks for the platform.
Another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.